Hey, Randy, look what time it is. It's 9-11. 9-11, 9-11, 9-11. Remember, if you don't let the TSA agent touch your nutsack in the airport, then the terrorists win. 9-11. Ooh, scary. 9-11. You know, Muslims are just like you and me, but we gotta be worried because they're gonna come over and kill us. 9-11. No, I'm serious. If Muslims are so wonderful, why do Muslims want to leave countries that are filled with Muslims? That's a serious fucking question. I'm waiting for someone out there to answer it. You can scream and shout with all your might. And you scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, motherfucking moan. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion right up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. And don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely third possibility that you know is true. I am right, and you are wrong. Good morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning after Memorial Day here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. Just got back 5 minutes ago. Walked in from trail running. Feeling good. Got a cup of coffee in my hand, and this is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform on which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect. And destroys the nearest motherfucking statist and just blows them the fuck up. Nuclear tipped, gigantic fucking nuclear mushroom, fucking shockwave, radiation, nuclear fallout, and 50 caliber machine gun to mop up any survivors. Fuck you all. Goddamn fucking road building statist. Who can you build the roads? My roads! How am I gonna get my new iPhone without roads? You fucking idiots. I hate all of you. If you're a fucking statist, I hate you. I'm on a quest, man. I'm telling you guys, I am eliminating people from my life. I think, great one, you are really intelligent, good looking, you have a large cock. You know how to eat pussy. You're hilarious. You're funny. You're witty. You're humble. You're modest. You're essentially better than everybody else on the planet. No. Are you seriously? Actually. Seriously. I am humble and modest. Seriously. I always think, you know, great one. Hang on. This coffee cup is about to spill over. Because I poured too much in it. I think to myself, great one. First of all, you have too many things. I really need to also do, God, there's so much I want to talk about. I really want to do a series on Satanism, I've talked about Satanism in the past, but I want to talk about it again. And I got so much material there. I got the fucking, the episode, or it's probably going to turn into two, where I talk about things I was right about. The list is getting longer because I'm fucking brilliant. I think to myself, great one. First of all, if you could focus, things would go a lot better. By the way, I am the great one himself. I'm the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. Been on the internet since 1999. I've been podcasting for 11 years. 11? That's 11 years. That's 5 plus 6 for those of you who can't do math, or those of you who can do math and, oh shit, I just did addition. That was patriarchy, because mathematics was, of course, invented by heterosexual white men who work for a living for the express purpose of oppressing women. So I probably just prevented a woman from getting a raise that she deserved more than the man who got the raise, because I did some addition. That was a little patriarchy there for you. In the control room, speaking of patriarchy, is the lovely and adorable Randy. She's hanging out over there doing her thing. She hasn't killed me yet. Oh, I should tell you that story. Then I'll come back to the other story I was about to tell you. And you can send us email. It's God. That's dog spelled backwards. God at cynlibsoc.com on the internet. And of course, the website, cynlibsoc.com. And the disclaimer, the feed thing, if you are subscribed via RSS, make sure you are subscribed via the correct RSS feed. There are multiple RSS feeds. Again, I sat this up a while ago. At the time, it seemed like a good idea. Now it's stupid. And there are multiple feeds are going away. There's only going to be one feed. If you go to the website, the homepage, you look in the right-hand sidebar, go down to the bottom, there's a feed linked there. That's the feed you need to be subscribed to in order to continue to get your deliciousness. And if you're a statist, in order to continue to get your cup of shut the fuck up every time. I'm still alive because Randy hasn't killed me yet. Because I said, it's Tuesday. And I said, okay, Randy, we got to get a lot of shit done. I got to do shit Wednesday. And Thursday's a day off, and I really just want to go do fun stuff if I can fucking get all the work out of the way. And I got other things going on, yada, yada, so far. So I show up early. We're going to bust out some recordings. We're going to do a couple of episodes at least. So she gets here at 7 o'clock in the morning. And we're at the studio. And I'm looking outside and I'm going, God damn, this weather is really nice. I think I might have to go trail running because I can't go trail running tomorrow because I got to do shit tomorrow morning. And Randy says, you son of a bitch. You told me to be here at 7 o'clock in the fucking morning so we could record and now you want to go trail running. I'm like, well, but Randy, look how nice the weather is. I mean, look, can't you see it? And she's like, no, but I can see my hands wrapping around your neck and choking the fucking life out of you for making me come to the studio at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I said, but Randy, but trail running. And she said, how would you like this microphone shoved up your ass? And I said, but Randy, trail running. So anyway, I went trail running. And she did some stuff here at the studio. And I think she might be waiting until after we record the episode and then she's going to kill me. Or she might break in while we're recording and kill me while the microphone is running, which I know would please some of you endlessly. I don't know. We'll find out. Just be aware that I am currently still alive. It may not last much longer. The other story, I just remembered where I was before I tangented on that. God, I gotta do so much. I gotta finish the fucking CLS lexicon. I got CLSology version 1 is sitting there. Jesus Christ, I have so fucking much to do. Whew. Deep breath. This is why, my friends, you have to meditate. So you can focus. Don't be like me. You gotta fucking focus. I'm so much up in the air. Oh, God. All right. I've been eliminating people from my life. Just when I think, great one, you could not get any fucking crankier than you are right now. Great one, your tolerance level, I shouldn't say tolerance, you could not have less willingness to put up with stupidity than you currently do. And then I turn around and I find out that, no, my willingness to put up with stupidity and statism can actually go down. Like, I am eliminating people from my life, left and right. I'm just like, I have fucking had it with just idiots and statist and femistatist. Oh my God, the hatchet is falling. I'm not going into any specific details and stories here because none of them are individually all that interesting. Just reinforcing the notion that and I just thought of something. I was going to do something, but I just realized I should just fold that into CLSology. Yeah, that would make way more sense than doing something. Because I was going to think about, like, well, I'm going to write this thing, because Adam Piggott, if I'm remembering his name correctly, I've linked to him a shit ton in the Linkology. His website is pushing rubber downhill. He did the, I think it's 28 traits of the modern man, which I pretty much agree with. I think, as far as I recall, I don't recall any of them I've disagreed with too severely. I was thinking, so I got me thinking, I said, I wonder if I should do like the traits of an anarcho-capitalist. And, you know, kind of something kind of similar. But now as I'm thinking about it, maybe I just fold that into CLSology, because that would be a natural thing to just fall into there. Anyway, you don't give a shit because I haven't done CLSology yet. At least I haven't posted it. You haven't seen it. So why? You're like, dude, stop talking about it and fucking execute. Because execution, that's one of them right there. That is on a list someplace of mine. I have so many lists. Being like, well, I have an idea. Your idea doesn't fucking matter. You know what matters? Execution. I have idea. I have so many fucking ideas. Just this morning, while I was trail running, I had like 7 fucking ideas. That's why when I run, I carry a piece of paper and a pen in my pocket because I have to stop and write shit down. I had 7 fucking things I wrote down. I had 7 fucking ideas in an hour. Doesn't matter unless I execute on any of them. That's how it fucking works. Right? Well, all right, never mind. Let's not talk about why women are failures because they think, I have ideas. Doesn't matter if you have an idea. Did you actually get off your ass and fucking do anything? Well, no, you didn't, because the patriarchy is holding you down. Okay, so speaking of the patriarchy, because everything is the patriarchy is like global warming. Right? If it's too hot, global warming, too cold, global warming, there's more hurricanes, global warming, less hurricanes, global warming, right? If the child is born, it's because God willed it. If the child dies during birth, well, God wanted that. If the mother dies during birth, well, that's what God wanted. If the child is born deformed, well, that was God's will. If the child is born with cancer and then suddenly the cancer goes away, that was also God's will. And, of course, if a woman can't get a job, that's patriarchy. If she does get a job, it was patriarchy because they only gave it to her because, you know, they hate women. And anyway, let's get back to the book. Hi. Randy, we're 12 minutes in. Perfect. Okay, 12 minutes of tangenting. That seems about right. Data and Goliath, The Hidden Battles to Collect Your Data and Control Your World by Bruce Schneier. We're in the middle of a passage. I'm just going to pick up in the middle of what I was reading. So if you didn't listen to the previous episode, tough shit. Go back and listen to it. I'm not your fucking mommy. We're on page 174 right now. Here we go. And I don't remember exactly where I stopped, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to reread something that was in the last episode, but you'll get over it. If you don't get over it, stop listening to the podcast and move the fuck on. You can learn to make choices in your life about what's valuable and not valuable to you. If listening to me rant and ramble and have a good time, right? If you're going to leave the comment on YouTube, I listened to your podcast and for 20 minutes you just ranted and banged on the table. You're an idiot. Well, you fucking listened to it, bitch. It's my fucking podcast and I'll do what I want. Bang on the table all I fucking want to. All right, anyway, that's enough making fun of idiots on YouTube and enough of me smacking the microphone. Coffee. Here we go. Page 174. And what we're reading here, these are the justifications for the legal justifications for the NSA to spy on you. These are the 3 legal justifications the NSA uses for spying on people. Democracy. Because, yeah, democracy is the solution. However, after the Patriot Act was passed in 2001, the Department of Justice's national security lawyers combed through the law looking for loopholes. As I pointed out, every law out there is just, well, we're going to write a law, and it's going to be full of loopholes. Any law that's longer than 3 sentences, anything more than 3 sentences, is just loopholes. Even though the law was intended to facilitate the targeted surveillance, they decided it could be stretched to authorize mass surveillance. Even though it only empowered the FBI, they decided the FBI could demand that information be sent to the NSA. At first, they did this without any court approval at all, because checks and balances, because justice system, because democracy, because rights, because First Amendment, because Fifth Amendment, which is search and seizures. I don't know. You don't know the Constitution. No, I don't. I don't, because I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm past that point in my life. Unlike you, I have read the Constitution, and now I've moved beyond it because the Constitution isn't working. Doesn't fucking matter. First, they did this without any court approval at all, because democracy. Eventually, they decided to argue their case in front of the secret FISA court. Because there is no one arguing the opposite position, they were able to convince a judge that everything was relevant to an investigation. This was a new interpretation of the word relevant, and one that doesn't even pass the sniff test. If relevant doesn't restrict collection because everything is relevant, then why was the limitation put into the law in the first place? Now, see, that was an example of the author of this book utilizing patriarchy. See, that was logic and reasoning, and logic and reasoning were created to oppress women and minorities. Obviously, the man who wrote this book is racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, and KKK. But he brings up a good point. If everything is relevant, then why is the clause in there? Oh my God, logic, you must hate women. Even Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner, the person who wrote the USA Patriot Act, was surprised when he learned that the NSA used it as a legal justification for collecting mass surveillance data on Americans. Quote, "It's like scooping up the entire ocean to guarantee you catch a fish," unquote, he said. Again, this is why laws, when people say, we need more laws to control the corporations, we need more laws to control the NSA, which is, again, Bruce, the guy who wrote this book, is a statist. His solution to these things is, of course, more laws. This is why more laws don't work. The laws, you can write as many laws as you want to control, making little air quotes, control the corporations, the military industrial complex, the police, the NSA, whatever you want. You can fucking just shit laws out of your ass like fucking diarrhea. It doesn't make any fucking difference because lawyers will always be able to redefine words like relevant. Relevant, what does it mean? Well, I don't know, how much money do you have to pay a lawyer? Whoever has the most money to give to lawyers will define what the word relevant means. Section 702 of the FISA Amendments Act was a little different. The provision was supposed to solve a very specific problem. Let me backtrack for one moment. So again, what I said here is these are I'm going to reread this paragraph from earlier in the chapter so that to establish, if you didn't listen to the previous podcast, the three justifications, the three authorizations. The NSA interprets its authority very aggressively and self-servingly. In Chapter 5, I discussed the three different authorities the NSA uses to justify its surveillance activities. Executive Order 12333, Section 215 of the USA Patriot Act, and Section 702 of the FISA Amendments Act. And that's where we're going to now, is the third of those, Section 702. And remember, while we're talking about democracy, as he pointed out, Executive Order 12333, because it is an executive order, is not subject to any judicial review. Because checks and balances and democracy. Section 702 of the FISA Amendments Act was a little different. The provision was supposed to solve a very specific problem. Administration officials would draw diagrams. A terrorist in Saudi Arabia, isn't that racist, was talking to a terrorist in Cuba, and the data was flowing through the U.S., but the NSA had to eavesdrop outside the U.S. This was inefficient, it argued, And Section 702 allowed it to grab that conversation from taps in the United States. Again, there's nothing in Section 702 that authorizes mass surveillance. The NSA justifies this by abusing the word incidental. Everything is intercepted, both metadata and content, and automatically searched for items of interest. The NSA claims that only the things it wants to save count as searching. Everything else is incidental, and as long as its intended target is outside the U.S., it's all okay. A useful analogy would be allowing police officers to search every house in a city without probable cause or warrant, looking for a guy who normally lives in Bulgaria. They would save evidence of any crimes they happened to find, and then argue that none of the other searches counted because they hadn't found anything, and what they found was admissible as evidence because it was incidental to the search for the Bulgarian. The Fourth Amendment specifically prohibits that sort of search as unreasonable, and for good reason. But of course, the Fourth Amendment, I mean, that's some shit some old white guys wrote, and they were probably racist and sexist, homophobic. Donald Trump, KKK, I'm pretty sure that the Founding Fathers were all members of the KKK. We all know that they were racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, feminist phobic, hate mongers. And what's really fascinating is that their actual deficiencies, George Washington, Whiskey Rebellion, are completely overlooked. It fascinates me the way the left-wing statists want to hate the Founding Fathers so badly and so they come up with this stuff about how they hated women and trannies while completely overlooking things they actually did, like George Washington, the Whiskey Rebellion. You know, here's this guy. He's the president. He sells whiskey. There's other people who sell whiskey. They're cutting into your market share, so you raise an army and you go kill the people who make the same product you make so that you can make more money. So have you ever heard, this is a serious question, have you ever heard a left-wing statist talk about the Whiskey Rebellion? No! They'll talk about how George Washington was racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK, but something he actually did, for which there is evidence, they completely ignore it. They're all so fucking stupid. They're so fucking stupid. My guess is that by the time the FISA Amendments Act came around in 2008, the NSA knew what it was doing and deliberately wordsmithed the bill to allow for its preferred interpretation. And again, this is why more laws don't fucking work. Okay, they don't. More laws are not going to fucking solve anything. Its leadership might have even briefed the Senate and House Intelligence Committees on how it was going to interpret the language. But they certainly didn't brief all of Congress, and they never told the American people. But then again, the American people don't need to be told because democracy. I mean, you don't need to know what the NSA is doing. They're doing it for your own good. And you need to shut the fuck up and trust the government, because Obama's the president, and if you're not willing to let the NSA do whatever they want to do in order to protect you, then you're obviously racist. I believe that much of this will eventually be found to be unconstitutional. I believe Bruce is wrong about that. I believe that none of this will ever be found to be unconstitutional. Well, again, we'll see who's right 10 years from now. If the Supreme Court has said that mass surveillance is unconstitutional and overturned it, okay, good, that's great, but I don't think that's going to happen. The Fourth Amendment protects not only not enough coffee, or not enough gin, one of the two. The Fourth Amendment protects not only against unreasonable searches, but also against unreasonable seizures. I argued in Chapter 10 that computer searches are searches. The mere act of obtaining a copy of the data in bulk from companies like Verizon is an illegal seizure as well. The problem is that all three branches of government have abrogated, if I'm pronouncing that word correctly, given up, is let loose of, not taken responsibility for their responsibilities for oversight. Yes, because democracy. And this is another failing. And again, you know, back to the Constitution. You know, I get it. And there's plenty of opinion. Well, when the Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution, they knew what they were doing, and they wordsmithed it, yada yada. And, you know, they can be as evil or as enlightened as you want them to be. As usual, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. I think the people who wrote the Constitution, to an extent, they knew, of course, they were writing a statist document that was going to give a government power over people and ownership of people and all this other stuff. But I think to an extent, also, they were trying to build this checks and balances system in. And, I mean, it's not a bad effort, okay? Having the three branches and, you know, conflicting. The problem with it, though, and this is where we see the problem, is, and depending on your perspective, you can have multiple problems with the checks and balances system. There are those, of course, who say that the government can't do things fast enough and doesn't have enough power because of the checks and balances, which is the good part of it. That's when it's actually working. But this is an example of when it doesn't work, is when you got the three branches and you've got this thing like NSA mass surveillance and nobody wants to touch it. And Bruce talks about this in the book, right? None of the three branches want to be the ones to just step up, because none of them are, you know, even remotely close to being men. I mean, the Supreme Court is a bunch of fucking old mouth breathers who wear dresses. Congress is just a bunch of rich cocksuckers who won popularity contest, local popularity contest. And the president, regardless of who it is just this fucking nutless wonder who won a national popularity contest and is essentially a tool of the military-industrial complex, the corporations, the NSA, the FBI. Right? I've explained all this before. You know, Kennedy thought for himself. He got shot in the head. You know, Reagan went in and talked shit and he was going to do stuff, and they put a bullet in him and said, you know, if you don't do what the fuck we tell you to do, we're going to put another bullet in you. This one's not going to miss your brain. And so Reagan, before getting shot, was going to cut the B-1 bomber, was going to cut spending, was going to do it. After getting shot, ordered the B-1 bomber, spent more money, yada, yada, yada. Okay. So the president is just a fucking tool and a puppet, and same thing. You know, Obama, as much as I despise Obama, let us be honest. Again, they sat down with Obama his first day in office and they explained to him, you will do what you're told to do or we will kill you. And Obama's a piece of shit. He's a piece of shit, okay? But he doesn't want to die. And Obama's not going to close Guantanamo Bay, despite saying he was going to do that, because the NSA told him he's not going to close Guantanamo Bay. And so Obama has to sit there and make a choice. Do I close Guantanamo Bay and get a bullet lodged inside my brain and die? Or do I not close Guantanamo Bay, live, become an ex-president with shit tons of money, give speeches, and spend the rest of my life with my family? He's stupid, but he's not stupid. So you've got these three branches of douchebags, of scumbags, of the most inferior people on the planet Earth. You remember, nobody in government could get a job in the private sector actually creating value for other people, so they're in government. None of them are going to step up and be the ones to say, okay, this is it. We are cutting off NSA mass surveillance, because as Bruce pointed out, even if it's 20 fucking years later, if there's another 9-11, remember 9-11, never before in history has a building that was not struck by an airplane magically fallen down all on its own. Oh wait, we're not supposed to talk about that. Remember, 9-11, never before in history has an airplane hit a building and then completely disintegrated to the point that there was not a single piece of airplane wreckage locatable. 9-11. Remember, if you don't let the TSA agent touch your child's private parts, you hate America, and the terrorists win. So even if, let's say any of the three branches, which one of them finds their nutsack. Let's say that, okay, let's say one of the three branches of government. God, I'm so awful. Randy, I am so good. I could pull out my dick right now and start jacking off just thinking about myself. That's how good I am. Let's say one of the three branches of government was going to Denver International Airport, and they're going through the TSA checkpoint, and as they're going through the checkpoint, the TSA agent, who was hired off of a pizza box, puts on the little blue glove and touches that branch of government's nutsack. And the branch of government goes, holy fuck, there's my nutsack. I was wondering where my nuts, thank you. Thank you so much for finding my nutsack for me. I had no idea where the fuck that was at. Now I've got my nutsack. I know where my nutsack is now. I am going to limit NSA mass surveillance operations now that you found my nutsack for me, because I haven't been able to find my nutsack for the last 250 fucking years. So now they've got their nutsacks. So this branch of government, whichever one it is, it could be old men in dresses, it could be beauty queens, or it could be the Messiah in chief puppet of the NSA. They've got their nutsack in their hand. They limit NSA surveillance. 27 years later, there's another fucking 9/11. I was gonna say another NSA attack, which, well, actually, 9-11 kind of was an NSA attack. That's another. Anyway.
Oh no, 9-11 conspiracy.
Yes, because buildings always fall down all by themselves. Anyway, 27 years later, there's another 9-11. You know, everybody will say this happened because 27 years ago, this one branch of government had its nutsack located for it and limited NSA mass data collection. You know that's what's going to happen. And that's why the fucking beauty queens and the old guys in dresses and the puppet in chief are all terrified of restricting NSA mass surveillance, because none of them want to be blamed. None of them want to be responsible. Because remember, responsibility is a creation of the patriarchy, which was designed to oppress women. The government is just like a woman. Women are never accountable. They're never responsible. Every woman alive knows anytime she fucks up, some man is going to come to her rescue. Her husband, her boyfriend, her father, her son, or the government. It doesn't, there's always, how much debt are you? Oh my God. Okay. So, tangent. Let me fucking mark my place in the book. All right. Oh my God, Captain Save-A-Ho. Every woman knows she can fuck up endlessly, because there's always going to be some Captain Save-A-Ho who's going to come along and bail her out. This is why women are not capable of responsibility. Okay. Again, men are not biologically capable of having children. Women are not biologically capable of being responsible. Now, you're going to tell me that you know this one woman. Actually, you don't. Every woman is responsible up until the point where they're not. And this is the difference between men and women. For men, there is no point where somebody will finally show up and bail us out. We inevitably are on our own. Women, a woman may have to do a little bit of work here and there, but believe you me, as soon as a woman gets too far gone, there's going to be a Captain Save-A-Ho show up and bail her the fuck out. I promise you. Babylon 5. I've talked about it many times. Babylon 5, one of the greatest TV series ever. One of the best science fiction series ever. Love Babylon 5. If you have not seen Babylon 5, watch it. It's fantastic. There is a spin-off series that lasted, it's on DVD, it's 4-disc long. It's called Crusade, it takes place in the same universe after the Babylon 5 series. I'm watching it, it's pretty fucking bad. I'm incredibly disappointed. Well, not incredibly disappointed, my disappointment has enormous credibility. I'm very disappointed in it. Loopholes, rushed character development. Earth. So these aliens come to Earth and they infect Earth with a plague. Okay? Now the plague is essentially dormant for 5 years. And then it will mutate and kill everybody. Now, if you're going to go kill some people on another planet, why would you infect them with a plague that's not going to kill them for 5 years? You would infect them with a plague that's going to kill them immediately. So that's really fucking stupid. So in the next part of the giant hole in the plot here is that Earth must find a cure. So of course, we find this captain and we give him this awesome spaceship and we send him off into space to find the cure for the plague. One spaceship. Out of all the spaceships Earth has, and if you're not familiar with the Babylon 5 universe, you know, keep saying, well, maybe Earth only has one spaceship. No. Earth has shit tons of spaceships. Okay? You've got the Mars colony. They have spaceships. Well, actually, Mars is not a colony anymore. They're independent. Okay, there's lots and lots of spaceships. Okay, there's corporations have spaceships out the ass. Earth has alliances with all sorts of other alien worlds, most of which are all, I shouldn't say that, many of which are more advanced than the humans. They have shit tons of spaceships. We're all going to die in 5 years from this time delay plague. We, the royal we, the government of Earth. Again, here we go. Government inefficiency. Okay, everybody on Earth is going to die in 5 years. We have shit tons of spaceships. We have alliances with all these other planets, species. We're going to send one spaceship out into space to look for the cure. Everybody else will just go about business as usual. God damn it. Oh, fucking Christ. Really? Ooh, fuck. Okay. Of course, we have this evil guy. He's evil because he works for a corporation, but he's part of the crew, and he actually thinks about profit. Oh my God. So, of course, you know, profit is evil. Making money was invented by the patriarchy to oppress women. In one of the episodes, the evil corporate guy, his name is Max. They come to the Babylon 5 station, which is... Anyway, he meets up with his ex-wife. And his ex-wife is like, well, I sell art. She sells art. She's an artist. Oh my God. He's an anthropologist. He's like this brilliant guy, speaks multiple languages, Did I say anthropology? No. Archaeologist. Anthropologist is different than archaeologist. He's Indiana Jones in space, okay? And he's really smart. He works for an evil corporation that actually makes profits instead of taxing people and taking shit away with the threat of violence. They actually provide things people want to buy. And his ex-wife shows up, and she's like, oh my god, because of the plague on Earth, I can't sell as much art, so I don't have much money, so I had to borrow whatever it was, we'll call it 50,000 credits. She borrowed 50,000 credits. So she borrowed money to finance her extravagant lifestyle. And she borrowed it from a mafia guy. Now the mafia guy wants his money back. Imagine that. Oh, and she borrowed it at this interest rate. I'm not making this up. What was the it was like a 100% interest rate. So now she owes, you know, 100,000 credits. And the mafia guy, imagine this, he wants his money back. He like, you borrowed money from me at a 100% interest rate. Now I want my money back. And this is just startling to her because, of course, this is patriarchy. It's oppression. Obviously, he's racist, sexist, homophobic. And so there's this scene where the ex-wife and Max are there, and she's like, you have to help me. And it's like, oh my god. And he just Captain Save a Hose right into it. Of course I'll help you. Dun dun dun. And he goes and gives the gangsta 50,000 credits and says, you're not getting the interest, just be happy with this. And of course the gangster is like, no, you're, you know, and again, here it is. If women are so fucking strong and independent, okay, bitch, you made a deal. You borrowed the money. You agreed to the interest rate. Pay the money back. Oh, but you can't. Because women don't have, even in TV, women don't have integrity. You can't do what you said you're going to do. You agreed to the fucking interest rate. You knew the interest rate when you borrowed money. You borrowed 50,000 credits. You knew you had to pay back 100,000 credits. Now, you borrowed this money. She borrowed this money just like a fucking woman to finance her extravagant lifestyle. She didn't invest the money in something so that she could make enough money to pay back the mafia boss. And stuff. No, she just fucking spent it. And then she goes to her ex-husband, who owes her not a fucking thing, and says, you have to save me. You have to bail me out. You have to help me. And he just fucking Captain Save a Hose right on in there. Of course, I'll help you. Dun, dun, dun. And yes, I know it's only a TV series. I know it's not real. But you know what else isn't real? Twilight. You know what else isn't real? Hunger Games. You know what else isn't real? Harry Potter. You know what else isn't real? 50 Shades of Grey. If you're a man and you watch this, this is not the kind of behavior you should ever exhibit in real life. Do not Captain Save a Hoe for your ex-wife, okay? Okay, let's get back to the book. I believe that much of this will eventually be... That was good tangenting. I believe that much of this will eventually be found to be unconstitutional. The Fourth Amendment protects not only against unreasonable searches, but also against unreasonable seizures. I argued in Chapter 10 that computer searches are searches. The mere act of obtaining a copy of the data in bulk from companies like Verizon is an illegal seizure as well. The problem is that all three branches of government have given up their responsibilities for oversight. The normal democratic process of taking a law, turning it into rules, and then turning those rules into procedures is open to interpretation every step of the way, and therefore requires oversight every step of the way. Or again, to provide a counterpoint to the statism here, you just don't have the fucking law to begin with. right? Yes, we can have this system where we have a law, and then we turn it as taking a law, you turn it into rules, and then you turn it into procedures, and then you have people enforcing it, and you have oversight, and you have all this taxation. Yeah, or you could just not have the fucking law. Without it, agencies abuse their power. Well, guess what? With it, agencies abuse their power. The agencies of the government are going to abuse their fucking power. It does not matter. This is what you cannot, as an anarcho-capitalist, this is what you cannot get a statist to understand. Even a very intelligent, rational, reasonable statist like Bruce, who wrote this book. For whatever reason, you can't get these people to understand that it does not matter how many fucking laws you have and how much oversight you have. The government agencies are always going to find ways to abuse, wordsmith, loophole, get around. This fantasy that the statists have that you just need this one more law. We just need one more oversight committee. We saw this in the 1970s when the FBI and NSA illegally spied on Americans under Projects Shamrock and Minart, as well as under an unnamed program that was part of the war on drugs, and we're seeing it again today. Lest you think this is solely a United States phenomenon, the same thing happened in the United Kingdom in 2000 around the passage of the Regulations of Investigatory Powers Act, Section 16.3. Largely unnoticed when the bill was debated, had been used by the GCHQ to spy on British citizens. It was intentionally drafted that way, with some members of Parliament in on it and stubbornly defending the obscure and convoluted language that didn't actually legalize mass surveillance, but nonetheless ended up being used to justify it. I believe that the idea for FAA Section 702 came from RIPA Section 16.3. In 2013, President Obama, the Lord and Savior, His Highness, the first affirmative action president and the second coming of Jesus Christ, unless you're a Jew, in which case Obama would be the first coming of Jesus Christ, tried to reassure Americans that the NSA surveillance programs are reviewed and approved by all three branches of government. His statement was deeply misleading. Before Snowden, the full range of government surveillance activity was known by only a few members of the executive branch, partially disclosed to a few senior members of the legislative branch, and approved by a single judge on the MFISA court, a court that rejected a mere 11 out of 34,000 warrant request between its formation in 1979 and 2013. That's not real oversight. However, to be fair, it's much more oversight than you'll find in other countries, including European democracies like France, Germany, and the UK. Yeah, because democracy works so fucking well. Some members of Congress are trying to impose limits on the NSA, and some of their proposals have real teeth and might make a difference. Even so, I don't have any hope of meaningful congressional reform right now because all of the proposals focus on specific programs and authorities. The telephone metadata collection program under Section 215, bulk records collections under Section 702, and so on. It's a piecemeal approach that can't work. We are now beyond the stage where simple legal interventions can make a difference. There's too much secrecy. There's too much shifting of programs amongst different legal justifications. When companies refuse national security letters, the government comes back with a Section 215 order. And the NSA has repeatedly threatened that if Congress limits its authority under Sections 215 and 702, it will shift curtailed programs to the more permissive, less regulated, and more secret Executive Order 12333 authority. Which, remember, the executive order authority, because it is an executive order, not subject to judicial review. Because democracy. Because checks and balances. Because Obama is black. And if you disagree with Obama, you're a racist and a sexist. You're homophobic. You support Donald Trump. And you are, of course, a member of the Ku Klux Klan. And this is why more laws don't work. The NSA just tells Congress, hey, if you limit us, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. And we'll just say, oh, well, now we're not doing it because of these laws. We're doing it because of this executive order over here. You cannot, the royal you, the NSA cannot be limited. The NSA cannot be throttled. The activities of the NSA cannot be curtailed. There is only one possible solution for this. You have to eliminate the NSA. As long as the NSA exists, government agencies don't give up power. The NSA has been doing mass surveillance. They are not going to stop engaging in mass surveillance. It doesn't fucking matter what your pathetic little fucking statist democracy does. The NSA will continue mass surveillance for as long as the NSA exists. I don't bother with the other side. I am always right. Okay, we'll be back. And we might, I think, the next episode will probably be the last bit of discussion on this book, because I'm pretty near the end.